What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. I seem to get some downtime during nap time. So I'm able to, while I'm writing out my to-do list for the week, especially for the day, I'm always super inspired to go back into my highlights on my Instagram and look back and see what y'all voted on you wanted to hear the most from me. Just me. While I share on the podcast. Armando and I definitely created this podcast to do together, and it's been fun to do it separate, which that's one of the things that I kind of pride our relationship on, is that we are still working to be individuals within a relationship, but we're definitely working on, you know, being a unit and being a family. Having a relationship now to where Orlando is a busybody and I love to be home. I love to be a mom. I love to do family things. And so, we're good for one another. He gets me out and being like, hello, let's like tackle this to-do list, which I love to do anyway. Like sometimes I'm like, why didn't I do this to-do list earlier? Like I feel so much better. And, I'm good for him in a sense of like, hey, let's just slow down a second and let's like be a family instead of you like running everywhere. So it's a good balance. Anyway, so one of the topics that you guys voted on to hear about was why I moved to Texas. I'm an Iowa girl through and through. People know I'm from the Midwest down here. It's super funny. It was very apparent when I first moved down here. For like the first like three years. I've been on her for 6 years total. I do say y'all, but I said it before I moved, so that's not like that much of a difference. But I still feel like I'm literally an Iowa girl. Like I'm from Iowa. Like I was even in my 10th month of pregnancy or 9 month of pregnancy with Aviana. I was like, hey, can we go visit Iowa so that maybe Aviana can be born in Iowa and not Texas? Cause not to like piss on another state, but Texas people love Texas and Texas people, and they don't like or appreciate anything else. And it's the weirdest thing for me. I'm like, y'all, there's more than Texas out there, and you guys don't rule the world. It's very much Texas down here. So I'm like, whatever. Eviana is half Iowan. So anyway, I'm an Iowa girl. I just happen to live in Texas. And, you know, it's super funny. I took a quiz the other day and I asked, where would your ideal place to live? And I wrote down some place that has seasons, because that's one of the things I miss the most is seasons. Is that change. Is, number one, a change in outfits. Change in clothes and change what you can wear. Because you're legit going through four sets of, you know, outfits, set of seasons. So I miss the seasons. I miss the cold, fresh fall air. I really miss fall in Iowa. Maybe when we're older, when our kids get older, we can get like a fall home. That sounds crazy, right? I don't know. But just something to wear. That's one of the things I miss the most about Iowa. But yeah, I'm an Iowa girl. And I was born and raised in Northwest Iowa from a super small town. I went from Sioux City and then moved to a really small town close to Sioux City. Graduated with, I don't know, 34, 35, 36 people. Super small class. Two of them dropped out like the week of graduation, which is still like mind-boggling to me. Like, why? What? You know, but, you know, people have their own story. But, super small class, went to Iowa State because my two older brothers went there, and I legit, I'm from a big family of one of six. I'm the third born, the first girl. I am the only child that never moved back home in with my parents after their freshman year of college. I'm the only one. My brother was in a fraternity. Both of my older brothers were in the same fraternity, and so I knew all the guys, and they rent out their fraternity house in the summer. And I connected up with, there was a group of us from my dorm floor that moved into there. There was like six of us, I think. Because I told them all about it. I was like, hey, we could pay $130. It wasn't even $200. Or maybe it was like $130 for a month and a half and then another $130. But either way, it was dirt cheap to live in this fraternity. And I moved my stuff there by myself because this isn't abnormal, but like, I just moved my stuff there, found somebody with a car and moved my stuff. And my parents, I don't think I even told them that I wasn't moving home. They were coming up there to do something with my brother, or I don't know what he was doing, an internship. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know why they were coming up, but they're like, hey, we're coming back to move you home as well. And I was like, I already moved into a place. I'm working. I've already paid. I've already moved my stuff. Like, I'm not moving home. And they're like, yeah, you are. And I'm like, well, that's cute. No, you're not. But so in between my work shifts, I think I caught them because they were looking for me. And I was like, I'm not moving. Like, I'm in between my work shifts. I'm not moving home. I've already moved in. I've already paid. Like, bye. And I just like left. I was like, bye. See you later. I'm not here to help you babysit. I'm not here to help you do anything, which is, it sounds so mean. Like, you know, my last podcast, like I'm super grateful I got to do that for my little brothers and sister, like legit help raise them and be there for them. Since I was in third grade all the way through high school, like I legit was like their second mom. I was living, and I don't know what I was doing, but I was living, and I was not getting super good grades in college at all. Like, and I wasn't really like that much of a partier. I didn't drink or do anything crazy in high school. So when I got to college, obviously I had my first beer. But I was just working. I mean, I don't know, like you just work, you make money. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. I said I wanted to be a teacher. So I went to school for education stuff, and then I changed my major every semester after that, and I went all the way up to my junior year, and that's when I dropped out. But yeah, I was just, for someone who was very shy and didn't know how to handle her emotions and just wasn't an open person, I was so ready to get out of the house and so ready to not be a babysitter, and I could fucking just go out and do what I wanted. So I did. And so I went to Iowa State. Like I said, I dropped out. I flunked out. I just stopped going. I didn't flunk out. I just didn't go back. I had, you know, chances to like go sign up for classes, but I'm like, I'm just working a bunch. I'm not even going to these classes. Like, this is stupid. I don't know what I want to do. My last major, ironically, was exercise sports science, EXSP. It's kinesiology, which is a pre-doctorate, like what pre-doctors did, but it's not like you have to be like super educated. It was somebody, you know, to be a personal trainer. And that was like my last major in college. You know, come to find out, here I am like doing health and fitness because that's like my baby. Like, I have so much joy for it. But anyway, dropped out of school, just worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked and worked, worked at the same place through college, all through, you know, I had through college and then all my adult years before I even left for Texas. Same job. I was a server at Hickory Park, one of the best restaurants in Ames. I don't know about best, but it was such a fun place to work, and you made just so much money. So much money. If anyone is listening, if they're young and they need to make some fast cash and, you know, they're just hustling in hustle mode, go be a server somewhere because you will make a lot of money real quick. And it's super fun. You get to talk to people constantly, and it's constantly changing. It's constantly new. And it's just, that place is a really fun place to work. I loved my general manager that I worked for is Tracy, and I loved Elizabeth. I mean, I just loved everything about it. But it's super funny, like hearing me say that now, like for a grip there, I was a miserable, miserable prick. I was not a happy person. I talked about this before, but I went through two abusive relationships. So a total of 8 years. And so that chunk was, I was working there. And so all those people, all of my friends there, they were basically my family. They watched me go through all of these stages. And just, some people knew who I really was deep inside. And I was known as AKA the bitch there. not because I mean like I'm deep down inside one, but like, I don't know, when you're at work, like just show up to work, do your job, do it well, and then make your money and then go home. You know what I mean? Like, don't just do any of the drama, like whatever, like do your job. And it was a very fast paced restaurant. I got really good at it because I've been doing it for years and years, like over a decade, right? So I was just a miserable person when I was there, and I had moments to where like I was really super happy, but they were few and far between. And then it was the summer of 2011 when things really hit the fan in the second abusive relationship that I had. And then I went back, you know, because everyone goes back after like bad things. I shouldn't say everyone, but most people do. Tried to give another shot. And then that was when the straw broke the camel's back. That's when the last abuse happened, was in 2012. Or no, that was 2011. And then 2012, I moved into a house. I found a house. I restarted my life. I left everything behind. I only packed what would fit in my suitcases. So I brought my clothes. I brought some kitchen stuff. And I brought, I had like a, what I called a closet room. I had like shelves and I had a dresser in there. So I brought those. I bought a brand new bed. So I bought that. I think that was it. I can't remember if I had a TV or not. I can't remember at all. Maybe a DVD player. I had a TV stand. I think I took that. But other than that, like I had nothing. Like I had no bathroom stuff, no kitchen stuff. Like I left the house, moved into a house, and I was the happiest person in the world. I was free. I was no longer in abusive relationships, and I told myself I was never going to go back. I was never going to be in those situations again. And I was just never going to be that Nicole ever again. You know, but after all that dramatic stuff, you know, happened, it took me a while to get myself back up on my feet. Like I just spent a lot of time alone because I lived by myself. A lot of time alone, a lot of time just working. And I worked two jobs at the time. I was a chiropractor. I was a CA at a chiropractor office, and I still had my serving job, which I loved. I loved both of those jobs. And I had my friends. But in those 8 years, you know, I shoved a lot of friends away, and I said no to a lot of parties, a lot of weddings, a lot of bachelorette parties, a lot of just events that I could have gone to with my friends. And my friends, they just, you know, you just get tired of hearing people say no. You get tired of hearing excuses. Then you just stop asking. And then you get tired of watching someone go through life things that like you don't enjoy watching them go through. So then you just like stop hanging out with them, you know, rightfully so. And so I lost a lot of friends. I still had like my core people. It's only a couple of people. You know, I had my family down in Texas, and so I was living in this house, had restarted, you know, 6 months had gone by and I had, you know, gotten like a good routine down. I had bought like dishes, silverware, bathroom stuff, working on decorating each room and kind of focused on that. And I started running again. I was always big into health and fitness. And then I started doing P90X. This is the kind of the start of the Beachbody thing for me. I was like, well, let me commit to something, because when you go through stuff and you know, are like at rock bottom, I don't know, this is for everybody, this is for me. I was searching for something that would give me purpose, that would give me something to do, and health and fitness has always been that for me. So it was running, so then I, you know, picked up P90X. I was like, P90X, that's 90 days. Sure, let me do it. So I got out the calendar. I had a, you know, burnt copies, DVDs of P90X, and I did it. And I think I did the first 60 days. And then my back got injured, because that was, you know, that ties into another part of like how I got started on my health journey, my back and hips were always going on. Because I'm a tall girl, but I have no behind. I have no core, front or back. So my body has always struggled with keeping me upright and working unless I work those muscles. But anyway, so I committed to that, and then running, and then winter came, Christmas came, everything was fine. And then February hit and my family had a really tragic accident happen and they needed me. and my, it was my family down here in Texas. And so, and I don't want to share that story. That's not my story to share. I've never, I don't share it out to the public. But it was a very, traumatic, story. Like, laid up in the hospital bed, just, you know, my family needed me. They had two babies. And, you know, at the time I wasn't with anybody. I was single. I just had my jobs. No kids. So I left for 3 weeks, left Iowa for 3 weeks, moved, came down here to Texas to help them out. Cause I'm really close with my brother here, is my best friend. And then, they asked me to be a permanent fixture in their household to help them. And before they even finished their sentence, I said, okay, yes. And you guys, I am not a person who says yes to anything. I wasn't at the time. I was sit back in the shadows. I was watch everyone else's life get better. I'm just over here, just like, meh, you know? And so for me to say yes, like I was, it was huge for me. But it, at this point, it wasn't about me anymore. It was, you know, helping my family, and I was in a position that I could do it. And I was, I let down my wall of being shy and saying no and like not doing, I was so tired of being a no person. I'm so tired of not doing anything in my life. Like I was so tired of it. And, I said yes. And so then I came back to Iowa, you know, finished up both of my jobs, sold everything in my house and moved back down, in June. And so that, I don't know, that was like 4 months later. I sold everything. I had a little tiny Toyota Corolla. And I don't know if you know anything about cars. I don't, but I had a Toyota car, so I know how tiny they are. It is the smallest car on this planet. It's super tiny. So I fit whatever that I could put in there. I sent a couple tubs home to my parents, which is super unheard of because, I mean, there's a million of us that live, have lived there, come and gone, which I've never come and gone. Thank you very much. I hold that title. I'm so proud of that. You know, I've never asked my parents for anything except for I was like, hey, can I put these tubs there? Like, I just would really appreciate it. And so I sent like some shoes and like a couple boxes down of clothes. And then I sent some tubs to my parents and that like keep like kid keepsake stuff, like stuff that I'd want like way later in my life. Right. So I moved with my clothes. And my clothes, like that's what I moved with. That's what I came to Texas with, and like a couple $100 in my pocket. No checking account, no insurance, no credit cards, no debit card. I mean, cash in my pocket. Let's hope my car doesn't break down. Let's hope nothing happens. Let's move to Dallas, Texas, right? So, and they, this is what I like to call God whispers or God thumps, let's say. I'm a firm believer in if your life is messy or if you're looking for some sort of direction in your life or with whatever that it is, it doesn't have to be something big like it was for mine, for whatever that it is, new job, maybe a new vibe in your house or like a new attitude for yourself or something you need to do with your kids or your partner or whatever, like whatever. It's our job to pay attention to the signs that the universe gives you, that God gives you, whichever route that you want to take. Instinct, like whatever you want to call it. It's our job to pay attention to those. It's our job to freaking get quiet in your day and freaking like get into your mind or just like let your mind go. Let your subconscious like release itself besides like trying to like shove it down and try to tell itself that this is a better idea than the other or just, you know, whatever. Like let your life and your body like lead you because, I mean, it does. It does. I call these God thumps. God will make things in your life really, really, really messy if you don't pay attention to these whispers and they turn, they quietly, they softly start turning into thumps and then God will turn them into really loud thumps. So for me, it was all of the times I got of leave this relationship, Nicole. I know this is really hard. I know you can't believe that this is your life. I know that you are a shy person and you're just used to blending into the shadows because you're used to not having a voice. You're used to shoving down your emotions. You're used to not thinking of yourself because you never really could. Because you were always taking care of your little brothers and sister and, you know, you're a middle child and you and your mom never got along until your mid-30s. I mean, that didn't come until way later. Like, piss poor relationship with parents. And I lived in anger. I lived in hurt. I lived in that, you know. And, you know, I never really spoke about it because I'm like, who am I to have a right to say that? Like, I wasn't sexually abused. I wouldn't, like, nothing bad happened. Like, I wasn't, like, I didn't come about. My parents aren't shit people, you know. But it was just like, I don't know. It's emotionally, I was not emotionally equipped to handle anything. But anyway, so I let all of those whispers, like, never come to fruition. And then, you know, with each abuse thing, I think that was just like a god dump of like, hello, Nicole, I'm going to make this really freaking messy and really bad for you to finally freaking own up to the promises that you said you were going to make, that you were going to leave. Like, this, you would never allow this to happen again, ever. You're going to stop ignoring it, stop putting your face into the pillow, and you're going to draw your line in the sand, and you're going to freaking get out. So, you know, things happen for you, not to you. And that was my god dump. So the final abuse happened, and then, you know, that next part of my story is not my story to tell, but, you know, like, all of that, what had happened was, like, I don't know. I was a part of it as far as, like, on my end, like, what was being whispered down to me, like, and what the whisper was is, freaking say yes and get out. Get out of the place that you have constant memories with people that you let ruin your life, right? And I remember going back and having to sell all my things and tell all my friends bye and, like, close up shop and do whatever. And I would go on long night runs, and I just, one block I would be running and it would be like, Nicole, what are you doing? You're literally just selling your whole life that you worked so hard to get for, you know, in these past 6 months. You're getting rid of it all again. You're starting over, and that was really hard for you. And, like, what are you doing? You're going to move almost 1,000 miles away. Almost 1,000 miles away. And, like, you loved your friends. Like, Nicole, what are you doing? You don't say yes. You don't do these things. You know, whatever. And then in the next block, as I'm running, I would come across, like, a street that, you know, we would always go down. Or friends. Or just some stupid memory of people that I dated, and it was just like instant, like, no, this is why that you need to get out of this town. Ames is not small, but it's not big by any means. And I lived there for so long that I have so many negative memories everywhere. I mean, everywhere. So it was like, no, Nicole, freaking, you're doing this. You're not turning back. You're not gonna chicken out. You're gonna do it. And so June 6th came. It was June 6th. Yeah, I think it was June 6th. I think that's when we moved down here. I had plans to come down with my best friend, and she couldn't. She's like, can you wait one more day? And our plans had kind of changed already before. And I was like, you know what? No. No. I'm leaving. If you can't be in this car, then I'm leaving. Because I was just like, I was done, and I needed to get out of there. I had everything packed, everything ready to go. I mean, I think I was sleeping on a couch. I think I even left the couch in the house. I mean, I don't even know, but I was ready to go. Ready to go. So I peaced out. So I got down to Texas, and so I can't even tell you guys how many times I sat on the floor in my brother's room, in the spare room. They have a huge house, so I had, like, my own, like, section and a bathroom and everything. And I sat on their floor till, like, 2-3 in the morning and just, like, stared at the wall because I was like, what the fuck am I doing? You know, I didn't want to turn on the TV. I didn't want to bother them. I didn't want to, like, you know, be this inconsiderate dickhead that's not doing anything with their life. But I was frozen. I was just numb to everything because I was like, what? I have no money. A job that, my intro job that was $10 an hour that was super part-time. You know, and I, you know, part of the deal was I was going to go help them with their kids, but, you know, that just, it just was, there's a lot of miscommunication on that part, but, like, and, you know, and then me being the turtle person that I was at the time, like, not used to freaking owning things and taking care of business. I'm a college dropout, you guys. Like, all that I knew how to do was just work hard, but I didn't know how to work hard on myself and work hard on dreams and goals and doing that because I didn't have them ever in my life. I never had them. And so it was just really overwhelming. And thank God my brother is such a godsend. Like, he's such a good guy. And he was really patient with me, and he helped me a ton, you know, financially and just like mentally. Not emotionally, because he's very emotionally turned off. Our whole family is emotionally turned off. But I was surrounded by basically millionaires. I was surrounded by people who were very, 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 very successful, who had their careers, who had their jobs, and just did their thing. And it was exactly what I needed. I needed to be around people who were really successful that didn't speak negatively about themselves or whatever. Like, got up, did the thing, and it sounds so like childish, you know, like duh, like why would you not do that anyway? Like, I'm a hard worker, like I know what that's like, but like I didn't know what it would be on that kind of level, right? But it was exactly where I needed to be, exactly where I needed to grow, and the job that I grew in, you know, my $10 an hour part time, you know, I got right, you know, did well, you know, for a startup, and then I don't know, kind of the rest of the story is for another podcast, but like. It ended up working out, obviously. You know, I did my bankruptcy thing. I needed to like settle up on a ton of financial issues mistakes that I made in my early 20s when I was in college, and then just never fixed in my adult years. Just so stupid. Just got everything like under control and on the right path, and then lived on my own for 3 years, met Orlando, moved in with him, got pregnant, had a baby. Now we're on our second, and here we are. So I moved to Dallas, Texas from the result of all the things that happened in my life, and an opportunity just came up that I generally would have said no to, and then I said yes to. So this is why I share on social media so much about becoming a yes person, and becoming like, literally when that pops up into your world, it's a whisper. Maybe you're not ready to say it yet, but I'm telling you, don't wait on the whispers. Don't let them turn into thumps, and don't freaking wait on changing your life. And when I say change, it doesn't mean it have to be this big drastic thing like my story is. It could literally be the mindset change that you need every morning from going to, shit, I'm going to be so busy, I can't make any time, and I have to do this for everyone else, and my husband needs me, and my spouse needs me, like, so, all of these things, and I can't even do anything, then become paralyzed, and then you, like, again, you don't do anything, and then you think negatively about yourself, and you're doing nothing to move your life forward. And the thing that makes you feel the best is when you start doing things, you start knocking things off your to-do list, you know? So I'm so glad that I decided to become a yes person without really even knowing how much it was going to change my life. And, you know, I didn't know how much being a yes person could change your life, or like what the possibilities are. Like, I was somebody like who had zero possibilities growing in her mind, like none. And then when you go through the traumatic things that I went through, with abuse, just like all of that, ugh, you know, I talked about that before in my self-care podcast, but anyway, that's why I moved. So glad that I moved. I would never regret it, even for all the times that I sat on that floor in my brother's room crying, and then or just staring at my social media, just again watching everyone else's life like happen for them, and you know, happen, like do all these cool things, make all this money, have all these babies, you know. I never thought that people's life were perfect, because I know people's life aren't perfect, but like you know, you're still moving forward even when you're kind of going through things. So, and I was just someone who legit did nothing. So anyway, that's why I moved. So that's my story. And it's funny because I feel like I felt like I told that story so many times, like over the past, you know, 3-4 years, but I haven't really since my daughter has been born. And kind of how all I got started in all this and why I moved, like legit, I'm an Iowa girl. I'm from Iowa. I will never be from Texas. I don't care. People say, well, you live here now. I'm like, I don't care. 50 years from now, I'm an Iowa girl. So anyway, I love you guys. Let me know if you like this podcast, and I have a couple more topics I'm going to share about that you all voted on my Instagram highlights in the poll section, or no, in my podcast. I have a podcast highlight on my Instagram. Iowa Gets Fit. I changed it back. That's what I used to be forever ago, but I changed it back because that's like, it feels good for me. Anyway, guys, go vote on a topic that you guys want to hear about, and I'm just going to keep sharing. And then Orlando and I actually have a podcast idea that I'm going to talk about with Orlando, because y'all don't really know Orlando unless you're one of Orlando's people. My people don't know Orlando, and he has got the coolest story and just of like how he grew up and where he's from and what he's done with his life and how he approaches things and why he is the way that he is and how we are both so different. Like, this dude grew up in inner city Houston, y'all. The ghetto. Houston, one of the largest cities ever. And I grew up in small town Kingsley, Iowa. Like, you know, like, I didn't drink in high school, and I think Orlando was, you know, 12 years old. You know, just like, just so opposite. And so I want to interview him and have him, you know, answer my questions and just kind of like get that aspect from, so y'all can learn about who he is. And it's super interesting too, like how we were both attracted to each other, but then how we're so different and how we're working on our differences, like using that as strengths in our relationship. So anyway, I love you guys. Thanks for listening, and I will talk to you soon.